Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Landers Ford in Collierville. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus. When you hear the
sound coming. Welcome back into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you, and we've got to talk some more wagering, and we talk with this guy from the Gold Sheet at this time every Friday afternoon. It's Bruce Marshall.
Joining the guys every Friday is college football historian and Vegas legend Bruce Marshall from Vegas Insiders, CBS Sports, and his own website, BamSports.net. With over 30 years on Memphis radio, with handicapping and sports talk, here's Bruce Marshall with Bryant and Brett.
Marshall joins us now from the Gold Sheet to talk some wagering, a lot to discuss. But Bruce, let's go back to that national championship game. Michigan, they get the win over UConn. They are national champions. It's just another win for the Big Ten. What did you make of that victory for Michigan, kind of the season as a whole for them?
Well, it was sort of a watershed moment, I thought, in college sports, if we can have any of those anymore, Bryant, just because the way Michigan put this thing together, all through the portal. I mean, that team was completely built since the end of last season. And that's sort of a new template here. Now, if you have enough money to spend, you've got a chance to do that every year, but it is a different roadmap than, you know, relying, you know, the old school, you know, a freshman, bring kids in. And only a few schools, I think, now can do that. You go, you know, maybe Duke, Calipari did it about, a decade ago. He had that team with all the freshmen. But it's very hard to do that just right out of the right out of high school recruiting now, because the good ones there, like, you know, Cam Boozer, you're going to stay a year, and then he's going to go in the NBA. You've got a better chance to go in the portal and find some guys and build your team that way. It's a one-year deal pretty much, although I see Purdue's going to stay another year at Michigan. But It's a new template that Michigan has perfected. Now, it's more than that, though. It's not just the portal. It's doing the portal right, and it's coaching the guys right, and everything else has to be in place. You know, I think we mentioned before, if you're if it's just money you're spending, LSU spent a lot of money this year, and it's basketball too. Didn't do anything. You've got to have the right guys in place. It looks like Dusty May checks every single box right now, and he is like the perfect coach. He's embraced this new way of doing business in college hoops, and that's why Michigan is winning. Not everybody can do that, but he's shown the way how, and it's sort of a brave new world. But one other note: it's not going to be another 26 years before the Big Ten wins another national title. It might only be a year, but this is the first title since 2000. More than a quarter of a century since the Big Ten won it last. So, you know, it's a big moment for the Big Ten, too.
We'll leave Bryant to do the counting on the next 26, though, Bruce, okay?
Yeah, I'd love to be around for the 26th. I'll take that deal right now.
Bruce Marshall, I think the same thing. In basketball, you can do it more wholesale than retail. College football, I don't know more than about three or four starters on a side that you can do any more than that. You certainly can plug and play, but I think it would be hard to go more than that, especially in the offensive line play.
Yeah, probably so. And, you know, it's sort of been that way, you know, football, there's just more players there in football, and it's easier to get one or two guys. It's always been in hoops, you know, who can make a difference. In college, you need a little bit more than that. But there's still room for the guys working the portal well in college football, too. Look at Texas Tech, what they did last year. James Blanchard, great football GM, you know, went in with specifics last year in the portal. I haven't checked what Texas Tech's done this year, but that was a very, very focused, portal operation last year for Texas Tech. A lot of it was alignment. Barton Simmons at Vanderbilt, too. I mean, these football GMs, they have to do it a little bit differently than basketball, because you're right, you can't. It's a little, you need more numbers to do it in football, and it's very hard to bring in more than some, but you know, it still changed the dynamics in football too.
It knocked me out of the best recruiting gag as a guest ever to have Barton on, but it was a bold hire by Coach Lee, and it has worked. Barton is plugged in, and his relationships, and what's fascinating about it, and honestly, Ole Miss under Lane and Pete Golding really being the recruiter the last two or three years, don't get your feelings too hurt when you miss him that first go around right out of high school. Keep a relationship, and when maybe disenchanted or playing time or whatever rolls back around, you get him that second time. Case in point at Ole Miss, Kawan Lacy.
Yeah, that's the way to do it now, and it's a different landscape than it was several years ago. And it's sort of, you got to adapt to this now. If
there's a silver medal now in recruiting. Used to it was gold or nothing.
That's right, and. Dusty May even said something. He said it's almost like he prefers to recruit through the portal. I mean, you know, the high school recruits, he said we'd often used to spend, you know, a couple hundred, 200 hours or so on a guy recruiting a kid, and then signing day he signs with somebody else. He said that's a lot of wasted time in the old system. He likes this more. I can understand that. I mean, if I'm coaching college hoops now, I think that's probably the way I'd do it too. Listen, if you're working that hard to get a freshman in there and he does well, he's probably going into the portal right away. So if you're going to go for 1 year, do it and save a little more time. Just make sure you work smart and go through the portal.
You mentioned LSU this last season with McMahon. They've got a new coach. You join Baton Rouge Radio and a lot of friends down there often, regularly. How do they feel about in a world that they're dealing with Will Wade and Lane Kiffin?
Yeah, it is a different world with those two. They all haven't embraced Wade as much as Kiffin, because Wade had been there before, and it was on bad terms that thing ended. So that has not been universally embraced by the LSU community. It's for him, he's going to have to win like right away. And there was a lot of backroom stuff and political stuff going on to get Wade in there that left a, you know, some people not sure about that. I mean, they're willing. They just want to win there at LSU, and if Wade wins, fine. But they embrace Kiffin a lot more than they did Wade the second time around, at least for Wade.
Yeah. And they will like Lane a lot, and he's going to win big there. Have you even looked at any of the odds to win college football national championship yet for next year?
No, but I did something with Ryan Fowler the other day. And he was going down season win totals, and I think
Ryan straightened it like the middle of August, didn't he?
he final 4 weeks. He wants to talk about Alabama football.
Yeah,
I know, but
that's it. That's his audience. He needs to.
Yeah,
that's smart.
But I thought LSU going over would be, and I'm trying to think what the was it 7.5, 8.5? But bringing in Sam Leavitt from Arizona State, that would be, listen. Before he got hurt last year, there was talk if he came out after last season, he would have been a first-round pick at quarterback. Lane's got him for a year. He's kind of a dark horse for me to be in the Heisman mix. I think LSU, you know, probably goes over. I mean, Leavitt was
no
dynamic
question.
Before he got hurt at Arizona State, and I think Lane will make that work right away. I think they're going to have some fun. We'll see a few years down the road how they like Lane, but I'm sure, this honeymoon's going to last a little while for him in Baton Rouge.
They'll love him because he's going to win, and that will make them love him even more. And he's going to win a lot. He's going to win a lot this year. But Bruce, you know this, Brian, and you've seen it. We all learned with Lane. So many people kind of characterize and stereotype him as five wide and maybe gadget play, goofy offense. No. When he's at his best is when he has Snoop Connor and Ely and a Quinshon and a fresh running back and last year with Lacy. He's better when it's ground and pound than it is throwing the ball.
Mm-hmm. People mistake up tempo. They think you've got to be throwing the ball all the time. And Lane, I think, set the template for that. And when it worked for Malzahn, listen, Lane's better play caller than Malzahn was, but when Auburn was working for Auburn, it was sort of an up tempo, but it was ground related. And you can do that. You can go up tempo, but you're running the ball. And the way Lane called the game there, I mean, it was very refreshing, and it was always dynamic. And you can play up tempo and be ground oriented, and that's kind of what he did. Well, I also told the guys down there, and I mentioned you, Brett, and then guys, you know, Mark, Richard Cross, Michael Borky, guys like that, all seem to kind of like Lane. And they will, you know, they'll down there. And I told them, the Ole Miss guys, are not every coach have they loved in the past there, but they were all sort of kind of thought Lane was an okay guy. So I think this will be a good couple of years for Kiffin down there. We'll see how long it lasts. But I think they should be excited at LSU, yeah.
I tell all my Ole Miss friends, I'm going to get there with you with the contempt. I'll catch up to you. Y'all, right now, y'all are way ahead of me. I mean, you're almost circling me. I'll catch up in due time. But right now, I'm still relishing these things about him. We were out of the Ole Miss was out of the football business when he arrived. The last 5 years, he won 52 games. He was a heck of a lot of fun to be around, and he was really nice to me. But that'll all change. And I want to beat him next September. I want to beat his brains out. But that'll all change in due time. But right now, I can't keep up with the contempt.
Yeah, and listen, LSU just went through that. I don't think Brian Kelly was ever a good fit down there. He was out of place with those people down there. Besides the fact he was a Yankee going down there to Baton Rouge, I mean, that was an awkward fit right from the start. But he was never, you know, he was never really a personable sort of guy, and nobody ever warmed to him. They'll warm to Lane. They'll like this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at least at the start they will. It won't be because he's not going to turn people off like Kelly did. They'll enjoy him, and I think you know, they should be ready for a pretty good ride. They have, you know,
if he loses,
Kelly, I think this one works.
And if he loses, they'll miss him too.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. No, it's going to be very interesting to watch next season. But Bruce Marshall, he joins us every single Friday, talks some wagering over in the NBA. Only 2 days left in the season, no games tomorrow, games tonight, and games on Sunday. How are you approaching these final 2 days of the regular season?
You're talking about the NBA, yeah. I mean, I'm hoping we get, that's right, tomorrow no games. We still got a couple more nights to go with these teams tanking. Although tonight, one of the games I liked isn't necessarily a tanking side, but I really think Charlotte's a good spot tonight. They've been dynamic here for the last month. I mean, the only team that's beaten them in the last month, really, has been Boston. Well, I guess Philly got them right at the end with Embiid, who's out again, by the way, now. But they've been dynamic, and all their wins by double-digit margins. They get Detroit tonight at home, short price. Cade Cunningham did come back this week, so Bickerstaff has at least got the rust worn off of him from the lung problem, but he's not going to play much, if at all, tonight. And Detroit's already sewn up the number one seed in the East, so it can excuse them for being on cruise control a bit, subbing freely. Charlotte's trying to stay out of that 9-10 game in the East, and if you're in the play-in round, and they're in the play-in, you want to miss the 9-10 if you can. So they have a chance still to move up to 6. If things break right, so I think you'll get the good price here. It looks like Charlotte is good, but some of these other teams here down the stretch, and I was talking to, you know, exchange notes with Brett before, the NBA is a travesty here. What's going on since the All-Star break, if not before?
We've lived, we've seen
the trade deadline. I mean, all these teams, if they're not going to make the playoffs to then effectively try to lose, which they've been doing, or not trying hard enough to win, shutting down players for the rest of the season, all ostensibly to get a chance at a better draft pick. I mean, you can't have a dozen or so teams doing the same thing. I mean, that's the product has suffered. If you've watched a game with teams like Brooklyn and the Washington and the Bulls and the Grizzlies, Grizzlies have actually done a little bit better than some of these other ones. Sacramento, Utah, I mean, it's been abysmal. And I kind of link this back. I mean, it was in the old days, I mean, when Lou Alcindor came out of UCLA, it was a coin flip between, you know, the Bucks and
Phoenix.
Suns.
Yeah.
Walton came out, it was the Sixers and Blazers had a coin flip. But they just kind of, they finished at the bottom and it was sort of natural. You didn't have this rush, everybody trying to lose just to get, you know, a better draft pick. I mean, when the Sixers first did that with Sam Hinkie as the GM about 15 years ago, I thought, this is really dangerous because he sort of mainstreamed that way of thinking. And it was a season-long approach with him to tank. And at that point, I said, man, you can't have more than one or two teams trying to do this or it's going to wreck the league. And now it's like a disease that's spread. And Adam Silver sees it. And they're trying the NBA with all these crazy sort of things what to do about it. But I don't know how that's taken hold in the NBA. It's just not seeing the forest through the trees. You can't destroy the product. It's like burning your house down to save your garden. I mean, it doesn't matter. You don't see this in the NHL. You certainly don't see it in the NFL. Listen, I went to a game here in Las Vegas last December, second to last week. It was the Raiders playing the Giants. The Giants lost that game. They get the first pick in the draft. They played that game like it was the Super Bowl. And ended up the Raiders ended up getting the first pick. But the Giants were trying like heck. You NFL, you rarely see teams do what these NBA teams are doing. NHL, you don't see that either. I don't know what they can do about this in the NBA. It gets worse every year. It's a disease, I think. And Adam Silver sees it, but it's just gotten out of hand, and it's bad for the league.
Bruce, I did not know who the coin toss with Portland was for them to get the big redhead, Bill Walton. Who did Philadelphia take with the two after losing the coin toss? I don't remember.
That's a good question. I'm going to have to check that out.
I know Phoenix got Neil Walk, and Neil Walk was a serviceable NBA player, but he was not Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yes, that's true. And let me try to check this out. That year, Phoenix, though, Phoenix had another bonus that year. Connie Hawkins was available, and I'm not sure how that ended up because he came over from the ABA, they ended up sort of getting him, and that was their consolation. They were pretty good. The Sixers drafted Marvin Barnes.
Right oh, bad news was that was a good player on draft day. Now it didn't end up as good as Bill Walton, but on draft day you could live with bad news, and he was bad news.
Yeah, and he went. And, you know, that's when the ABA was still around. The ABA.
I saw him with the Spirits here.
He did. He went to the ABA instead. So that ended up being an empty pick for Philadelphia. Barnes was second pick, and Tommy Burleson was the third pick.
Oh, I didn't remember that. And Tommy Burleson went to the ABA, didn't he?
He went to the Sonics off the bat. The Sonics are the ones that drafted him. And I think he stayed about a 6-7 year career, but he was mostly in the Sonics, I think.
Yeah. Brian, Bad News Barnes, famous for they give him the itinerary for the Spirits to fly, and they were like going West Coast, and it was one of those deals where you leave at 10 and you get there at 10:10.
Okay.
And he said, "I ain't getting on no time machine."
Yeah, that was him. That was him, all right.
Bob Costas was their PR director and play-by-play guy.
Really? Wow.
Right out of Syracuse.
That is
working at KMOX.
Wow. Holy cow. That is unbelievable. I'm curious your thoughts on these Major League Baseball games. Anything you like? Anything you're keeping a close eye on into the weekend?
Yeah, looking tonight, a couple of them. The Giants are playing the Orioles. A lot of black and orange on the field. The Giants had a very slow start. However, they won their last two games at home over the Phillies, shutouts both. And better news, that is big news, but Rafa Devers is starting to hit a little bit. And they go into Baltimore tonight. Devers has had very good success at Camden Yards and against the Orioles throughout his career. The last 4 years, he hit by 320 against them, a lot of RBIs, and he likes Camden Yards. So they're in Baltimore tonight, Landon Roop on the mound. I'm keeping an eye on this Tony Vitello thing with the Giants because that's a radical move they made, and he's trying to coach them like they're a college team. I'm not sure how that's going to go over. But against the Orioles tonight, who strike out an awful, awful lot. So I might look at the Giants there. A couple of other favorites. I might look at these on the run line. Milwaukee, Chad Patrick's pitched pretty well at home against the Nats tonight, who really, boy, this pitching staff. Listen, I got people watching the Nats who tell me this bullpen in particular, and they said they cannot induce contact if they wish. They are like a double-A bullpen. They've allowed six or more runs in seven straight games. And Jake Irvin is not much. He's had struggles his couple starts. Why they got moved McKenzie Gore like that, I don't know. But I might take the Brewers tonight on the run line. I might do the Reds the same thing. They've done pretty well against the Angels. They played them the last couple of years, and they won 5 of 6. Chase Burns really pitching well at the start of the season for the Reds. And the Angels just got whipped a couple by the Braves. They had a big fight in one of those games, and Kohanowitz goes tonight, and his marks on the road have been really bad, big home road difference. This might be a run line for the Reds. Both Cincinnati and Milwaukee in the run line tonight, plus 105 or so, the extra run, I think it might be worth it.
Now, Bruce, I stole it from you from last year. I know you like Mark Kotze, and I picked him to be my AL Manager of the Year this year. Those wins at Yankee Stadium, they had to be proud of.
They did, and the A's, this kind of puts them back on track. I was kind of thinking the A's might be a sneaky possible AL wildcard contender. It's still early, but they're showing something here. The pitching suddenly coming on pretty good. I like the fact one of their uniforms this year, they got Sacramento on it, which is kind of neat. And I did not get up there last season. I vowed to get there to watch a game this year in Sacramento at that minor league park. So we will see. But, yeah, the A's, that was big. And they're back on their feet in the AL West.
Yeah, no, they've been fun over this last week especially. But, Bruce, before we let you go, where can we find more of you?
Yeah, for me, these days, everything's up there.
That's great.
RachelTalk.com, that's where you find the Gold Sheet. That's also where, you know, Picks and Parlays and WinnersandWiners.com, that's also part of the Wager Talk family, so my picks are there. But they're also up there at the WagerTalk.com. Gold Sheet is up there as well. We'll get more Gold Sheet stuff going towards football season. But right now, go up to WagerTalk.com, get all my stuff.
Bruce, where are you going for World Cup?
Oh, where am I going for World Cup?
What city?
I am thinking I want to be overseas for it, believe it or not. I'd rather watch it over there because I do not like American TV coverage. I don't know that I went to a game in 1994, so I've been to a World Cup game. But yeah. I so dislike the coverage TV-wise in the States, I would rather watch coverage of it overseas.
And you can join me in Kansas City for Curacao and Ecuador in June at Arrowhead.
Well, that would be kind of fun. At least you wouldn't have to watch the guys. Talk
who should I be for?
Listen to them talk on TV about it.
Who should I pull for? Who should I throw in with?
Ecuador. Go ahead with Ecuador. Go with the Western Hemisphere side. Why not?
Boy, Curacao is really small. It was hard for me to find it on the map.
Well, yeah. Well, Curacao. That'd count for Curacao too. Yeah. So, either one. Also, go for the underdog always. I would think Curacao would probably be the underdog there. But yeah. By the way, this is a bigger World Cup this year. It's 48 teams, mm-hmm. And it's kind of unwieldy. We'll be
there's
talking
not,
more
there's
about
not
that,
anything
sure.
Around those mix of fans that I could say or do anything that would spark an international incident, is it?
Well.
I wouldn't. That's possible you could. So I'd be careful. So
I don't want to go to Kansas City and turn it into the Egg Bowl.
No, just go there and watch, have fun, and just sort of smile at all of them while they're cheering.
That's right. It's going to be fun because we're getting closer and closer to that World Cup. But, Bruce, as always, thanks so much for joining us. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll do it again on Friday.
Thank you, Bruce.
Okay. Thanks. Have a good weekend, Bruce.
Thank you so much. The world's most interesting man, Bruce Marshall. When the whole world's coming to the United States and Canada and Mexico for the World Cup, he's going to go to his daughters in Italy. That's great, isn't it?
What a great answer. to have disdain, which, like, I get it. I have some soccer friends of mine that they feel the same way. But to have that, and then to be able to just say, yeah, I'll just go somewhere else and watch it. I'll just go overseas and watch it. That's awesome. I love that out of him. But
I wonder if there's certain colors I should or shouldn't wear in the middle of the Curacaoans and the
question.
Ecuadorians.
That's a good question. I
mean, are they Curacaoans? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, you
made that
you,
up on the fly.
Maybe figure that out before you get around.
Probably need to make sure. Yeah,
you probably should do a little bit of homework before getting out there. But I think we'll have you well prepared before you go out there for that soccer match. So
the Vuvuzela, the original cowbell.
Well, yeah, there you go. I love that. So no, that's gonna be. I think you have to go with Curacao because of how small they are. Right, like it's very. very small
itty
country.
Bitty.
Yeah, so you got to go for them. They've got to be the underdog, right? I mean, that's
I'm not kidding you. Forest City looks bigger.
Well, it might be. I don't know. But, yeah, I think you got to root for them. But we'll do some homework and then really figure it out before we get to that point. But we're going to get to a break here in a second. Before we do that, the weekend's here. You're looking for a night out? Maybe next week. All the action I talked about earlier. Just so many games, so many sports going on right now. You're looking for a night out, a place to watch all these games, keep an eye on them. Well, I got the place for you. It's Bell Tavern, located at 117 Barbro Alley. Bell Tavern, it's the perfect bar for a night out with your friends to catch a game, but it's not one of those loud, rowdy, obnoxious sports bars that you're used to. No, it's the exact opposite of that. Enjoy a night at Bell Tavern with one of their great cocktails and their quiet, dimly lit bar. And it's not just the drinks. Bell Tavern has the best food in Memphis. Pair one of their gourmet burgers with the coldest beer in the city for a perfect night out. For more information about our friends over at Bell Tavern, give them a call, 901-249-6580, or go online to belltavern.com. Well, let's go ahead and get to another break. When we return, it's going to be a lot of fun. The summer's right around the corner. The Ed Murphy Classic, it has become a staple here in the area in July. But tomorrow, a track and field event over at Houston High School. Eddie Murphy, he's going to join us. He'll be at that event tomorrow. Also, U.S. Olympian Ryan Krauser will be in attendance for that. We'll talk to him about tomorrow's event, his event in July, and a couple of other topics. We do all that next on Sports Time.
Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Available locally on your radio dial as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, it's easy to stay tuned to Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now, back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Landers Ford in Collierville. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you, and we've got to talk some track and field as we've made it to the spring, summer around the corner, a perfect time to be outside and be at these track and field events. And joining us now to talk about these events, Eddie Murphy, you know him with the Ed Murphy Classic. He joins us now. Eddie, thanks so much for joining us. A lot I want to talk about with you, including that Ed Murphy Classic coming up in July. But let's start with this event tomorrow at Houston High School, track and field event. And in attendance, U.S. Olympian Ryan Krauser is going to be there. That's a three-time Olympic gold medalist. Tell us a little bit about that event and then Ryan and what he's going to be doing out there.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, first of all, I just want to thank you guys. I mean, number one sports talk show in Memphis, and we're trying to do something great for Memphis. You know, we hear a lot of bad things. LeBron says things that are going on that aren't so great about Memphis, but, you know, y'all are the number one talk radio show, and we've got something super that's going on. This is year 10 of the Ed Murphy Classic, and 2 years ago with this Houston Classic, Scott Hamlett's the head coach out there. I mean, he's amazing, and we brought in Asafa Powell 2 years ago who – basically mentored Usain Bolt and has broken the 10-second more than anybody in the world ever, historically.
Yeah. Wow.
And so tomorrow at the Houston Classic, Scott Hamlett has really grown this meet. I mean, just to kind of give you an idea, we've got city schools, county schools, private schools, suburban schools, out of town. We got 1,900 athletes that are going to be coming tomorrow from 48 different schools to run. And you know, Scott's doing a wonderful job to grow this meet. We've got pro timers that are coming in. So it's, you know, sometimes these meets we found can be really, really slow, but he's been helping us with this pro meet, and we're being best in class. And so we want to share that knowledge with our high school, with our coaches, things like that, because with the LA Olympics coming in 2028, they're looking for another track town USA in America. It might as well be Memphis. Mm-hmm.
It can be Memphis. And Eddie, it can. And what you just described, as long as I've known you, you have been the big tent guy. You're far bringing any and all to these events and to have this fun. And the very essence of track and field, of I'm faster than you, or I threw the discus farther than you, or I could jump higher than you. And that's what you've always espoused, and you've always been a lot of fun doing it. And Bryant knows the facilities well. You got a great facility out there at Houston for the weekend.
Oh, absolutely. Got a brand new track out there. They're really excited about it. And, you know, look, what we've found is that we need better coaches. And so we're the only nonprofit track meet in the United States. And we finished third in the United States and 23rd in the world. And every time I say that, it kind of humbles me, because in year 10, beating the Drake relays, the Penn relays, Mount SAC, and your peer group is London, Monaco, you know, all the great cities around the world. It's pretty cool. That's our peer group, and they're worried about us because there's so many great American athletes that don't want to go to Europe. You know, we finished third in the United States and 23rd in the world. What does that tell you? Mm. Yeah. They're not in America, you know?
Yeah. It does. And Eddie, I swear, from the first time I've ever met you, and thank you for the kind compliment, and as I told you, anything, and I don't want John Harden to feel like I'm poaching from him, though, because he loves having you on his midday show, so I don't want him to feel that way, but anything for you, I've always felt that way about you, and I tell people, yeah, he is as funny as the other Eddie Murphy, and they spell it differently.
Well, you know, it's funny, my son, I just drove in from Augusta, kind of scored some tickets late, and my son lives in Bend, Oregon, which is out near Eugene, just got in the car with me for my future son-in-law's bachelor party. Mm. Yeah. So, and then I got to roll in here tonight and then go to
be careful,
tomorrow,
Eddie.
Go to Houston. Absolutely.
Man. Pace yourself. You know long distance running. I mean, a day at Augusta and now this. In Bend, Oregon, I mean, that is the heart and soul of track and field country.
Oh, they get it. And, you know, we're already talking about putting on a mini Murph out there, and all the Nike people out there, and Willie Gregory's paying attention to us. And we got a lot of great people that we're just starting to connect, because it takes a long time. Being a nonprofit, you know, we've raised money, more money every year, so our trend is up. But we're competing with these places around the world that, you know, they raise $1.4 million easy. You know, we raised $650,000 last year, and 38 cents on the dollar goes to the Murphy Track Club, which we started. This is year four. We go in the inner city. We're at Raleigh, Egypt. We're at Halley Stadium. We're at Cordova. Yes. We're in some great areas. We want to keep growing that, and we hire great coaches, and we need more great coaches. That's why we bring in some of the best in the world to coach through the Memphis Shelby County Schools. We coach those coaches to get better.
Eddie, give me
a village
a year.
To do this.
It does, and you have always espoused that, and you've always worked and done it. You haven't just talked about it, you've done it. Eddie, what was the first year you put on a pair of Nikes? I know it was a long time before it was cool in a publicly traded company.
Oh, yeah, Pheidippides on right over by the University of Memphis on Highland, when they came out with those waffles, it was amazing. Absolutely love those shoes. I'm kind of dating myself there, Brett.
78?
I guess we both can. Yeah, probably 78, right, basically when they came out. I mean, right there. It changed the world.
Yeah. No, it absolutely
It's amazing.
Did.
He made those out of a waffle, you know?
It's crazy.
Incredible. The story about him and what he's done and accomplished in, 88 years young, Phil Knight, we're talking of?
Absolutely. Wow. Absolutely. And there's a lot of synergy there, guys. We the USATF is... You know, well, let's go backwards. Sebastian Coe came in 2022, and they'd never put the world championships on in America. Mm. And I'm sitting there on TV watching it, and he goes, we're here at the Nest out in Eugene, Oregon, beautiful $250 million facility. And he goes, we're here in America because we need to raise the awareness of track and field. Because the LA Olympics are coming in 2028. I'm sitting there looking at TV, and I'm like going, man, we got a shot. We started, and this is year 10. I was like, we're there because the athletes love us. Mm-hmm. They come down to Beale Street. They have a big time. Look, LeBron James can say whatever he wants to. These athletes are begging to be noticed in America, and we're giving them that opportunity. Mm-hmm. It's really not that hard.
No, not at all.
And, you know?
Yeah,
and we have so much to give in this city. We get beat up, yeah. You know, but we got so much to give.
No, we absolutely do. And you mentioned Beale Street and the pole vaulters out on Beale Street. Tell me, like, when did you first realize, like, we should put pole
Great
vaulting
idea.
Out here on Beale Street and talk to us about that, because that's been really fun to watch.
Well, it's kind of great question. And so when we started this meet and we had some Olympians coming, some guys that kind of a god wink, I got to know Ronaldo Nehemiah and John Neobani. And Neobani, they're both two of the top agents in the world. And they came in town and they were like, hey, man, Ed, we need some more meets in the United States. We want to bring you to Zurich and put you in the meetings. And their budget in Zurich was $12 million. And so we go downtown, and the night before the meet, they've got 40,000 seats sold out for the next 10 years. You know, whenever they do it, that's how big it is.
Wow.
And so we're sitting downtown, and all of a sudden you go down and you go, what in the world is this? It's just like Beale, but they got a theater. It's right on the river. It's a beautiful setting. And they have a high jump, long jump, triple jump. Mm. They put a track down that cost $1 million to run kids meets, elementary, middle, and high school. And every field event is down there. And I just went, oh, my God, this is Beale. And I said, let's put our spin on it and make it ours.
Wow.
And so now we've had, I mean, are you kidding? We've had the silver medalist. 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10 in the world jump on Beale.
Wow.
Krausen probably could throw the shot all the way down Beale with the roll.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic. It's right there next. We got Alfred's. We need to grow it even more and get every one of those places. I work First Horizon Bank. I think we're going to rent out one of the Mickey Silkies or something like that and grow this thing, because throwing it right there in Handy Park is going to be sick.
Oh, yeah.
It will be. And you were at Augusta yesterday, and on 15, you camped out for a long time, and you were also the recipient of the nice pricing at the cold beer stand, I understand. 15 almost got out of hand yesterday, didn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to use the word shit show, but it was complete.
Well, maybe not.
Sorry about that, but it really was fun because these guys were, you know, they were getting up and trying to get up and down from everywhere because they couldn't hold the green. It was crazy.
Wow. Yeah, no, it looked like it on TV. It was a mess out there, but maybe guys understand it a little bit better today. Eddie, before we let you go, tell us one more time about that event tomorrow, when people
yes.
need to be out there and what they can expect out at Houston High School.
Yes, so look, they're out there today and they're out there tomorrow. Ryan Krauser is going to be there from 12 till 2, signing autographs, taking selfies. It ought to be a spectacle. I mean, the guy's broken, I don't know, the last how many world records he's held in a row, but like quantifying it, Brett, to golf, Paul Doyle, who runs the American Track League, who's his agent, he got us involved in this Ed Murphy Classic. He said he's dominated this sport more than Tiger Woods has.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about that?
Wow. That.
So any of your listeners out there, it's Ryan Krauser, Krouser. Look him up. It's pretty amazing. He'll be right here in Memphis. And he's excited to be here, guys.
Wow.
And look, we had 68 Olympians from 470 athletes from 28 different countries.
Mm.
And it's only going to get better if we can keep growing this thing, guys. Like I said, it takes a village. Anybody listening that wants it, this Murphy Track Club, it's going to be about $430 to sponsor one kid for the summer, and we need it because, look, we've got a chance. All our coaches are telling us in a board meeting was that, you know, with everybody here, every agency fighting crime, the kids are scared to join gangs this year because they're scared they're going to get caught for the first time.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
And this is, look, we're just one of many great nonprofits in this city that are doing great work. And we're fixing it one kid at a time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, it is awesome to see what you're doing out there. And I know tomorrow's going to be a lot of fun.
Great stuff, Eddie.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. And we want you back quite often, okay?
Definitely.
Well, look. So listen, it's June 10th and June 11th. 10th, we're going to be at the University of Memphis. We had a guy named Quincy Wilson last year, broke the world record in the 18 and under 400 meter. And he beat the gold medalist in Paris when he did it. So
wow.
We got athletes. If you want to watch some fun, it's really good.
Yeah. I'll be there, Eddie. Yeah. I promise you. And we want you back. Thank you. Have a great weekend. Pace yourself.
Thanks, Eddie.
Absolutely. I appreciate the opportunity, guys. Take care.
You're not 20 anymore.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely.
Thank you, Eddie.
Eddie Murphy joining us. Should be a lot of fun tomorrow at Houston High School. And, I mean, Ryan Krauser, I mean, that's a guy, last three Olympics, gold medal. I mean, that's you don't bump into that every day.
Just prolific, and that a lot of people remember Ronaldo Nehemiah more from trying it in the NFL with the San Francisco 49ers, but that's who Eddie knows and who he can get to town, and the great work that he's done, and just a fantastic guy, great family.
Yeah, obviously he's done a lot of great things here with a lot of these Memphis area, the high schools and different things like that, and then his event, and hopefully we're able to talk to him again before the Ed Murphy Classic happens this summer. I don't remember if it was last year or the year before, but I mean, it was because we were really, I mean, it was the Olympic year. Everybody was getting ready for the Olympic, and you went down the roster of who was going to be there. That person, Olympian. That person's going to be at the Olympics. It was just, I mean, every other name was somebody that was going to be at the Olympics, and you had an opportunity here in Memphis to go and watch those athletes perform before they were on the biggest stage in the world.
We've got to go. Don't let me forget that, and we go.
No, definitely. We will absolutely get out there because it is a really, really fun event. But let's go ahead and get to another break, and when we return, it'll be time for Big Number of the Day.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
To Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Landers Ford in Collierville. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus. And she says, I wish that I could be like the cool.
Big Daddy.
Hello, Big Brand.
It's a guy, he wants to be big, then he gets big, he doesn't want to be big anymore, then he gets small, but the suit's too big.
Big Daddy.
The big boy.
You're a big guy.
I think she's trying to pull a fast one on Big Daddy.
The big number of the day.
All right, Brett, my big number comes from Major League Baseball, and it's actually a player that has already been mentioned on this show once today. I believe it was, I don't remember, maybe Bruce that mentioned him when we were talking some Major League Baseball. My big number is the number 10. Chase Burns for the Cincinnati Reds has struck out at least 9 batters in 6 innings or fewer in 5 of his first 10 career Major League Baseball starts. No other pitcher to make his first career start in the modern era, which we know is since 1901, has had more than 3 such outings through their first 10 MLB starts. So Chase Burns with 2 more than what anybody has had in the modern era. A really nice start to his career in Cincinnati, and we'll see what he can do this weekend.
Okay, so we know in the NFL, we've kind of reformulated the history, and they've gone a long way with Tyler Hero in mind to Super Bowl to now, right? What did we decided for NCAA tournament? What did we decide for NCAA tournament?
We kind of said the CBS era.
The CBS, that was it, the CBS era.
Yeah.
We got to do better in 1901.
1901 for the modern era. Like, that's okay. If you want that to be a start point for something, that's fine. But it can't be the modern. There's nothing modern about 1901.
No. We had no cars. We had no nothing.
I don't know.
We had no nothing.
I don't know what that point is, but I know it's not 1901.
Let's use this. Let's use September 2nd, 1945. That was the day on the decks of the USS Missouri, the end of World War II.
I like that.
Japan surrendered. Mm-hmm. That would encompass Jackie Robinson that we're getting ready to celebrate. Mm-hmm. So end of World War II is our Tyler Hero starting place for baseball.
I like that. I think that's much better.
That cuts out Babe Ruth.
It does, but
I don't know if I like that.
Well, but again, like, we're not rewriting history. We're not eliminating everything after that. We're just saying in terms of, and if you're just using modern era, I would say Babe Ruth is not in the modern era. So I think we can leave him out of that. I'd be
okay
with that.
In our last guess, in anything track and field, I'm not going to cut out Jesse Owens in the 36 Olympics.
Absolutely not.
So we got to be careful. We don't want to carve out it.
But again, Brett, I think you're confusing what we're talking. We're just talking about where we set the modern era. We're not erasing history here.
Me confused. I thought it was Sunday until about 9 o'clock today. Golly,
Brett, boy. You keep bringing that up. I mean, you know,
I know
we could have just forgotten about it.
It kind of scared me. My big number is 18. Winners of the Masters. That's 18 winners of the Masters by foreign players. Rory last year. Could go back to back.
Yeah,
he's the only Northern Ireland winner ever. Gary Player was the first foreign player to win from South Africa. Been two South Africans to join him since Trevor Immelman. You'll see a lot on the coverage. And Charles Schwartzel. Spain with four. That's the most. Seve with two, and then Jose Maria Olazabal with two, and Sergio and John Rahm. 39 Americans good for 64 wins at Augusta National.
Wow. And we'll see if it's an American or if it's an international this year. A couple Americans right there towards the top of the leaderboard. But Rory McIlroy still at the top. He is now 8 under through 14. We'll see what he ultimately finishes at. Three guys at 6 under behind him. But Rory starting to separate himself a bit.
I'd be okay with Sam Burns in his first major.
Yeah, we talked about Sam Burns yesterday.
LSU get their big win in April.
Yeah, had that 67 yesterday. A 71 today. So he's had a nice start through two rounds. I'd be completely fine if it was Sam Burns.
Tommy Fleetwood would be fine.
Oh, I'd love it. I'm
not for Rory, and I will be pulling hard against.
Yeah, I don't really know who I'm for and who I'm against. I don't think I'm really against anybody at the top.
Boy, that cut line's staying there, isn't it?
It's staying at
plus four. I thought it might bring in the fives. It doesn't look like now it will. 56 players at plus four or better.
Yeah. So it looks like that cut line's going to be at four over. But, I think
you think the Højgaards ride with each other to Hilton Head,
well,
to Harbortown?
I hope so. I mean,
you too. Got to save all the cash we can.
Good road trip for the
they're
brothers.
Worth about $20 million each.
I don't think they need to. I don't think they're worried about saving anything. But I think I'm in favor of, in terms of the top five guys, I'm either Team Fleetwood or Team Rose right now. I think those are the two guys I'm planting my flag for. I would be,
and we would get. Both in Memphis,
we're
getting defending champion Memphis.
Yeah, so I think that would be that'd be cool if one of them won. I'd be completely fine with that. But we're gonna get to a break here in a second, wrap up this hour. But before we do that, let me remind you: looking for a spot to eat tonight or into the weekend, the perfect place to go when you're in Memphis is to get some barbecue. And you can get that world famous Memphis style barbecue at the Commissary, awarded the best barbecue in the city in the Commercial Appeal. Best Barbecue in Memphis 2025 Bracket Showdown. Visit either location in Germantown and in Collierville. Stop in for lunch or for dinner. At the Collierville location, stop in and try their all-you-can-eat buffet. Available Monday through Friday. Pick and choose between 3 proteins, 5 sides, a salad, and a drink, all for just $15.95. For more than 40 years, the Commissary has been a staple in this area, and a major reason is because of the quality of food they serve. My go-to, it's got to be the ribs, but it's hard to resist the barbecue shoulder. Get it chopped or pulled, get it by the plate or by the pound. Comes in handy with the sandwich packs. Feed the whole group with a 6-pack, an 8-pack, even a 12-pack. And don't forget about the dessert, like the delicious banana pudding, brownie, or the lemon icebox pie. Check out the entire menu and catering options at CommissaryBBQ.com. Whether it is a watch party for one of the games or the golf this weekend, or maybe an office party, let the Commissary cater your next event. Also, while you're doing that, check out their private party rooms, perfect for any occasion. But today, stop in at either location in Germantown, open daily until 8 p.m., and in Collierville, open until 9 p.m. for that world-famous Memphis-style barbecue at the Commissary. Well, let's wrap up this second hour, get to a break, and when we return, we're going to talk the Masters. Dan Reardon from KMOX, he joins us next.